Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Chenjerai Kumanyika. He is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. Hi, Chenjerai.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. Well, U.S. airstrikes have been pounding the Iraqi city of Tikrit overnight, joining the fight to recapture the city from the Islamic State at the last minute. Shia militias backed by Iran have been waging the war for Tikrit alongside Sunni tribal fighters for days now. The fighting continued until early this morning in a battle that is seen as a major test for defeating ISIS. Many fear, however, that the presence of a large number of Shia militia forces, many of whom fought against the U.S. occupation, will exacerbate existing sectarian tensions and also allow Iran to expand its influence in the region. The ongoing war against ISIS continues to pull in muddled allegiances with conflicting ideologies. Well, Chenjerai, if indeed this is a model for how to recapture Mosul and other parts of Iraq from ISIS, what do you make of how this battle for Tikrit is being fought?
Well, I think that decisions about how to recapture Iraq from ISIS need to move through a more rigorous democratic process. And that process needs to consider a full range of strategies with a heavy emphasis on addressing the structural problems that fuel ISIS's growth. One of those problems is a U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, which continues to contribute to the destabilization of those regions. This raid might be an example of that. For political reasons, the U.S. has a tendency to default to hastily conceived military actions that has a variety of consequences. Meanwhile, as you pointed out, there's real fears among the local population in Tikrit and other parts of, that part of Iraq that overwhelmingly Shiite Iraqi militia forces will take advantage of that opportunity and really harm people in the region, and there's precedent for that. So we need more transparency, more democratic decision-making, and less focus on a purely military solution that has been proven ineffective.
And then Human Rights Watch has just released a report this morning documenting ongoing abuses by the Boko Haram group in Nigeria. Boko Haram, which pledged allegiance to ISIS recently, has apparently killed 1,000 civilians already this year. The rights group tallied the grim total based on eyewitness accounts and media reports. Last year, a total of 3,750 civilians were known to have been killed. And reports are now emerging that Boko Haram engaged in yet another mass kidnapping earlier this month. About 500 women and children were taken captive from the town of Damasak in Borno State. These reports come ahead of major elections this weekend, which had been slated to take place earlier, but been postponed to this Saturday because of security concerns. Incumbent President Goodluck Jonathan will face off against former military dictator Major General Muhammadu Buhari. Both candidates signed a peace pledge this week. Chenjerai, what are the chances that Nigeria can have a peaceful and democratic election in the midst of this escalating war with Boko Haram?
We really have to hope that this can be a peaceful election. It's so important. But one thing that's for sure is that the solution to the Boko Haram situation is going to be a key issue in this election. But there's two other things that should also be important issues in the election. The first is the issue of widespread poverty and marginalization of the Muslim population in northern Nigeria and the general population. Mm-hmm. Boko Haram's ability to survive in this area is not fully separate from that problem. A related problem is the lack of Muslim representation in the Nigerian government. This is something that Jonathan has come under scrutiny for in the past. And so this announcement of peace is a clear effort to address that. So I just hope that we have a peaceful election and that we can begin to move forward on this tragic problem.
And finally, here in the United States, the state of Indiana is expected to declare a public health emergency in Scott County over an alarming rise in HIV cases. The number of confirmed HIV infections this week has risen to 72 in that county alone, up from 26 a month ago. The outbreak in the part of southern Indiana is linked to intravenous drug use and shared needles. Governor Mike Pence says he's considering legalizing a needle exchange program, even though he personally opposes such an approach. He's expected to issue an executive order today to authorize a range of actions. Currently, the state has adopted a public outreach program that includes billboards and social media. Officials from the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said earlier this week that the outbreak is an indicator of a larger problem, which is rampant IV drug use in the economically depressed region. Chenjerai, this story really surprised me, but when I saw the CDC quote, I supposed we should not be so surprised, should we?
Well, we shouldn't be, because what you're seeing here is in part the result of bans on clean needle exchanges that were supported by a wide range of conservative politicians, including John Boehner. I mean, let's look at the facts. The majority of these new HIV cases in Indiana can be connected to intravenous drug use. So many studies have proven that clean syringe exchange programs are effective, you know, in a major effective way to prevent the spread of HIV. And this includes a 1998 report by Health and Human Services Secretary Donna Shalala. So legislation like the 2009 federal ban on clean needle exchanges shows a tragic willingness of some politicians to sacrifice human life in favor of a groundless ideological position. Activists have gone to jail protesting this. And so I think what's happening in Indiana is an encouraging move toward a solution, but I hope it's not jeopardized by upcoming election politics.
Well, I want to thank you, as always, Chandraya Komanyika, for joining us today. We'll talk to you later again.
Thank you for having me.
Our daily newsflash guest expert is Chandraya Komanyika. He is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.